Kia ora, hello, and welcome to Bod Almighty,
the practical how-to podcast helping you feel better about your body, have a peaceful relationship with food, and go out into the world with confidence.
Everywhere we turn these days, someone is telling us to love your body. But how?
Well, by listening to this podcast is how.
That's right. We are your hosts, Hannah Tunnicliffe
and Michelle Sokolich. Without further ado, let's get started.
Kia ora, listeners. Today we have a special Please Explain episode all about the recent Gwyneth Paltrow podcast episode with Dr. Will Cole. We're joined by Kate Spina, our guest from season one of Bod Almighty, with whom we recorded an episode titled How to Eat Carbs. Kate is a qualified nutritionist working out of Sydney, Australia. In this podcast episode, we discuss diets, food restriction, and disordered behaviours relating to food. So please take care when listening.
So recently, Dr. Will Cole interviewed Gwyneth Paltrow on his podcast called The Art of Being Well. You may or may not have seen clips of this on social media. Most of the discussion focuses on her company Goop, the food Gwyneth does or doesn't eat, supplements, and therapies that she enjoys. At least these parts of their conversation have garnered the most discussion on the interwebs.
So who is Dr. Will Cole?
Dr. Will Cole is a functional medicine practitioner, doctor of natural medicine, and doctor of chiropractic. His core business seems to be telehealth sessions with clients and consulting to various businesses, including Goop. He does not practice medicine, diagnose or treat diseases or medical conditions. In his words, I focus my practice on promoting health and optimal function.
Goop was initially a newsletter sent out by Gwyneth Paltrow. Now Goop describes itself as a modern lifestyle brand. What is a lifestyle brand, I hear you ask? Well, research informs me that it is a brand that attempts to embody the values, aspirations, interests, attitudes, or opinions of a group or culture for marketing purposes. The consumer believes that their identity will be reinforced if they publicly associate themselves with this brand. The goal of a lifestyle brand is to become a recognized social phenomenon. So in other words, a lifestyle brand sells stuff that makes you feel like a certain kind of person. They might sell candles or gold dildos or moon juice brain dust, or even psychic vampire repellent sprays, all of which, I must add, Goop has sold. But the point is less about the product and more about servicing identity needs. It's about selling things that will make someone feel like a certain kind of person. For example, someone who is successful or sexy or inspiring. Also worth noting, Goop is estimated to be worth $250 million US, and Gwyneth Paltrow has a 30% stake in the company. Goop has settled at least two lawsuits with the organisation Truth in Advertising, which filed complaints about unsubstantiated health claims, most famously in relation to a vaginal jade egg, which Goop sold 3,000 of. Kate, can you tell us why are people feeling hot under the collar about this interview?
Well, essentially, this podcast episode glorifies Gwyneth's starvation diet. And so I think that a lot of the backlash came from that she described a day on her plate, which was very low protein, low carb, low fat, low fiber, low diversity. She also, in amongst that day on the plate, sort of sprinkles it with nutrition misinformation. You know, suddenly skipping breakfast becomes intermittent fasting. And then she got upset about people being bothered by that, and said it was just like a personal chat with her doctor, and she seemed surprised that after having built a brand on aspirational wellness advice and being interviewed on a podcast called The Art of Wellness, she seemed surprised that what she said on that platform was actually taken as wellness advice, which seems a bit disingenuous to me. And so there was further backlash about that.
So I might just give a little quote here for listeners who haven't listened to the podcast. Well done you, please don't. She mentions, I'm going to talk about food behaviours, so please, everybody out there, take care. But she says, I'm done eating by 7 p.m. I eat something around 12, maybe a coffee, something that won't spike my blood sugar. I try to get 1 hour of movement, follow that with a dry brush and 30-minute sauna. My husband and I also do 20 minutes of transcendental meditation every morning. For lunch, I like soup. I often have bone broth. Dinner is something paleo, like fish and vegetables. We have so many farmers markets in California. It's such a blessing. We try to get clever with carbohydrates, like make cassava tacos or sweet potato noodles. So it sounds like there's a whole mashup of things going on in terms of eating philosophies. How would you describe that?
Yeah, it's to me, it sounds quite cult-like, to be honest. Like she very much identifies herself by her eating habits. You know, I'm paleo, I'm paleo-ish, I'm, you know, she references, like, she talks about clean products on her website. I don't think she uses clean with what she eats, but
she detoxes a lot.
It sounds like she's very much entrenched in a dogma. Later on she talks about very black and white eating, like a very black and white view on eating. It's so funny. Like, she talks about doing all those things. So she's eating very little, but she's also doing very little. Like, that's not, can you imagine if she actually had to go to work? Imagine staying on the plate. So I get up, you know, I pack the school kids' lunch boxes. I drop them off at school. I have my coffee. Then I go into the office and I have my bone broth for lunch. Like, there's no way you'd be getting till 11 o'clock.
How many red flags did you feel just within the first sort of 10 minutes?
Oh, so many. I stopped counting them. I actually felt physically sick listening to this. I think the biggest one though for me was when she said she avoids spiking her blood glucose with coffee. That's really misinformed. The best thing to avoid blood glucose spikes are to eat regularly and to include fiber and protein so that it sort of drip feeds glucose into your blood to get a nice steady stream. Coffee can actually cause a spike in blood glucose with, you know, a little artificial like fight or flight response that you can get from coffee because it's a stimulant. Just the overall lack of responsibility of having such a broad platform.
It seems quite dangerous, doesn't it? Because she also said at one point about doing the macronutrient diet, it became really addictive. So it does seem quite sort of irresponsible to be preaching this. Like, what kind of impact could that have on someone who had disordered eating or were at risk of disordered eating?
Yeah, I think she actually was speaking about the macrobiotic diet, which... Back at the day when, like, I think she's talking about the 90s at this point, and it was very trendy, you know, to like do yoga and follow the macrobiotic diet. And I think from memory, it's largely vegetarian, if not vegan. It's actually has more food diversity than what she's currently having at the moment. But again, it sort of like speaks to that cult-like factor. Like, if you're doing yoga, you're also eating the macrobiotic diet, and there's probably other things in your life that are also influenced by your eating choices. So it sounds like she's gone from like one, you know, from the outside, she's gone from one sort of eating dogma to another, you know, trying to find that philosophy
The lifestyle brand, right? I mean, that's what she's selling. Yeah.
And I found some of the comments she made quite evangelical. So she said, I'm a full disciple of Dr. Will Cole. She mentioned in relation to her critics, I pray for those people. And in relation to Goop business strategy, our North Star is very true. For me, there was a lot of language that reflected almost a sort of like a religious zeal. Did you find that as well?
Yeah. Absolutely. And also business talk, you know, when they talk about, oh yes, having an IV, doing a pod in an IV is so on brand for us. I was like, oh, okay. I mean, that was that, and the fact that the entire podcast felt like an infomercial.
Yeah.
Or a cult seminar. You know, that seminar that you go to when they're trying to sign you up to the cult? That's what it felt like.
Yes. Yeah, because Hannah and I were talking just before we started recording about how you kind of forget. Like, it's all very easy to think, oh, Gwyneth, she's, you know, she's just trying to, like, help everyone, you know, into wellness. But actually, it's a corporation. Like, they're making a lot of money and they have a lot of responsibility.
It's what you would think they would have a lot of responsibility, but that doesn't come across at all.
No.
I think it's worth noting, too, that, you know, Dr. Will Cole is the author of three books, Ketotarian, The Inflammation Spectrum, and New York Times bestseller Intuitive Fasting, which you probably have some feelings about. Speaking of feelings, his latest book is called Gut Feelings, Healing the Shame-Fueled Relationship Between What You Eat and How You Feel. That book is published by Goop Press. So there is a business relationship between Dr. Will Cole and Gwyneth.
Mm.
That's probably worth kind of being aware of, I think, in the discussion.
And they reference so many products throughout the hour that they're talking. I mean, he has ad breaks in it, and yeah, he has a podcast. That's sort of, it's not unusual. But they also refer to products that she's selling on Goop. And I think it's sort of, you forget that actually she's making money, and possibly he's making money out of the vast majority of things they mention. And it's that wellness washing of very general, broad, you should have this, which ignores that the personalization of health, like, we are all different. What's healthy for one person won't be healthy for another.
Yes.
And I think there was only two things that they mentioned and that you couldn't buy from one of them. Like, the IV drips is one, and the other is the pizza that she just wants to eat at the end that has like a gluten base and cheese. Everything else they mention other foods, they mention, I think, face care, they mention green powders. Like, I'd lost track, but everything else you can buy from one of them, either from the Goop site or from his sponsors.
It's unbelievable. I want to talk about the drip, though, because this is fascinating to me. Is she saying that if you eat like she does, which is supposedly the epitome of wellness, is she needing a vitamin infusion drip? Does that mean that how she eats isn't working?
Well, look, she would be so nutrient deficient that she would absolutely need supplementation. In terms of whether that supplementation should come from an IV drip, there is just not the evidence to support that that's beneficial. The idea is that it's bypassing the little gatekeepers of your stomach. So there are certain receptors in your stomach that mean you have a limit to how much you absorb. Biology tells us at this point in the research that's a good thing, that you absorb what you need.
What you need, and yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of how if you eat too much vitamin C, you get the shits.
Yeah,
because you're not absorbing it. That's your limit of what your stomach can absorb. Right. So you will just poo the rest out. It's disturbing. And again, it's very elitist, isn't it?
Yes.
That's what you're buying into, that wellness brand.
I would just like the time to be able to sit in one place, let alone I would just pretend I had a drip and just be able to sit down in one place without anybody bothering me for about 15 minutes. That'd be amazing. That itself is a wonderful privilege. I would opt into.
Can we make that a thing? I'm all for pretend IV drip.
We need to do
play Lego. I'm having a drip. I'm doing for the next 15 minutes. Come back later.
Can we do like a speed quick fire round of me asking you what on earth some of the things Gwyneth mentions actually are, because I felt like I was listening to a different language. Would you be up for that, Kate?
Yeah, go for it.
What on earth is methanation? She says, I'm not a natural detoxer. I have trouble with methanation. Please explain.
Yeah. She's talking about methylation. So methylation is a process in your body that's required for quite a lot of different processes. Specifically where I see problems with methylation in my practice, it's with how people metabolize B12 and folate. So you're missing a little gene factor which helps you do that process really efficiently. And that gene is called MTHFR. And she actually mentions, well, her doc, her her doctor, who's actually a chiropractor, he would not be called a doctor in Australia. Sorry, I should clarify that. But Cole mentions MTHFR. So that's an actual gene. So what I'm hoping is that she's actually been tested for that gene mutation. It's not an uncommon one. And look, normally in my practice, when I see someone with an MTHFR mutation, all it means is that, you know, for most people, that they would benefit from having activated B vitamins. So B vitamins, which are already methylated, because they're having problems during that process in their own bodies. She extends that out though to, like, it sounds like she's built her entire wellness routine around problems with detoxing because of that.
Hmm. And what are binders? What she mentions binders, what are binders? I mean, other than like ring binders.
I'm not sure which one in particular she's talking about, but normally you would use binders to help eliminate, so you could say detoxify, but help eliminate or help your liver eliminate heavy metals. So this is someone with heavy metal poisoning. So maybe if you grew up in a house that still had lead pipes, this would be an issue for you. If you're someone who works in an industry where you've been exposed to heavy metals, that can be
an issue. So a binder binds to the toxin and takes it out of your body.
Certain binders bind to certain toxins and can help you eliminate it. But these are normally used in very specific cases. You don't just use them generally. Like your liver, your kidneys, your gut, you know, gets rid of like toxins and things you don't need on a daily basis. The best way to support the function of those organs is to give them the right nutrients through food and then maybe supplementation if you need it. Again, I don't know if she's tested. I don't assume she's been exposed to heavy metals.
She maybe was married to a rock star.
Design man.
Okay, I've got to ask the big question too. I'm sure Michelle's on each of her seat for this one. Ozone therapy, .. rectally. I've had ozone therapy, .. rectally. Please explain.
I had to Google this. I have not heard about it. I mean, ozone is three molecules of oxygen, and it looks like with ozone colonics, ozone rectal therapy, that they are, you know, spraying that up your butt, essentially.
A kind of chemical? Why? Like almost like a fly spray applicator? That's what I'm imagining.
I think it's a significant gush of water. Like in terms of what other molecules are, it's a significant stream of water. And when most people are having other types of colonic therapy, it's normally to flush out the poo.
Got you.
So I don't know if that's what this particular treatment is aimed at, but again, the best way to expel your stools is to get enough fiber, drink enough water, favor bulkier meals rather than smaller snacks, move your body.
Not spray a gush of water up your rectum.
Yeah, because that ruins like, my weekend plan. Have the muscles in your body, like you have muscles and muscular contractions that move your poo down and out, and interfering with that with colonics, with laxatives, can make that so much harder.
Interesting.
But yeah, there's that. I think there's that feeling, like people get addicted, I think, to the feeling empty down there.
I'm curious, Kate. She talked about how the macronutrient diet made her gain weight, which she infers is, you know, evidence of it not working. Would you say gaining weight is always a sign of a bad diet?
No, sometimes it's people need to, especially if you've been following a restrictive diet for a long time, or if you've been highly stressed and your appetite has gone down, if you've been sick. There are lots of reasons where gaining weight might actually be a really good sign. And I think, and it's disturbing that she sees it as such a negative. And I think given the platform that she's on, it would be helpful to see weight gain and weight loss as something a little bit more neutral. That's telling us something's going on in your body that might be good or might be bad, but something's changed. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing?
Just a piece of data.
Yeah.
It's just data. It's just data, you know? So, yeah.
And so I guess I'm curious to know, she's using weight, obviously, as a measure of wellness or health or the success of a diet. But, you know, really, what are the main drivers or determinants of health? Is it nutrition or vitamins or exercise, or is it other things? Like, is it things outside of what Goop's selling on their website?
Oh, there are social determinants of health. And so they're things like where you were born, like which country you were born in, like what your upbringing was like, how much money your family had, housing security, food security or insecurity, your access to health services. In some countries, whether you're born male or female will influence your health outcomes in positive and negative ways. And she seems to ignore all this. And I think a wellness business is built on ignoring that and advocating that you have so much control over your health. She talks about agency. You know, we have so much agency. We're actually, social determinants of health are probably 35 to 55% of your health outcomes. So, yes, we do have an influence on our health, but so do so many other things. And the wellness brand that she's pushing and that other people are pushing as well ignores that and implies that you need to have lots of money in order to attain this. You need to buy lots of things. They're monetizing health to the extreme and they're inciting fear at the same time if you don't do it.
I was just going to say, it's also really damaging for the people who aren't born with that privilege to then feel that they've done something wrong. They're not, you know, how are they not healthy in air quotes?
Oh, absolutely. And at the beginning, she talks about this. I think this is one of the first things I found so disturbing. She talks about the differences in how her mother ate and her father ate. And then she goes, oh, and so when my father got cancer, I was really aware of how you eat affects your health. I'm paraphrasing there. That's at the beginning. And I thought, you know what, I have met so many women with different types of cancer who are constantly questioning whether it was something they did or didn't do. And, you know, we can just look at genetics. You know, there's environment, but there's also genetics. There are some things you cannot control with your health. And wellness, this ignores that, and the guilt that sentence could incite is staggering. Like, you know, yes, okay, so Gwyneth might have a lot of agency in her own health. She has lots of money. She's obviously not doing anything all day except not eating and dry brushing and sauna and meditation. So she would have, so her perspective is perhaps from someone who does have a lot of agency, support, expendable income on this time. But for someone else, for the regular person, like, our ability to control our health is much smaller. And that's actually okay. We actually have a lot of, like, within a much smaller budget and much less time in terms of nutrition, because that's my perspective, we can actually influence our health. Like, if we look at the blue zone populations around the world who live longer and healthier than other populations, they're eating peasant food. They're eating inexpensive food. They're going about their day-to-day life. They're not having ozone colonics.
And they're living in very socially supportive circumstances, yes, which speaks to your previous comment around social determinants being such an important, large part of your health outcomes that is not at all kind of reflected in this individualistic wellness business. And I wanted to ask your thoughts about the word wellness. What does wellness really mean? Is it purposefully or the sort of ongoing shifting horizon? What is wellness?
Well, I think it is. I think it's a brand now. And I think it's separate from health. And I like the World Health Organization actually has a definition of health as being not merely the absence of disease, but actually feel like a sense of physical, mental, and emotional well-being. And I really like that definition. Wellness monetizes that.
Mm, yes.
You you are in total control of that well-being, and this is what you need to do it. And it's very aspirational. It's very generic. It's not personalized health advice. And I think it goes along with like clickbait headlines, triggering fear, triggering guilt. Like we see this in diet culture all the time, and it being aspirational. And we were talking before we started recording about the thing that I found the most disturbing. And it was almost at the end of the episode, their podcast episode, where Gwyneth just suddenly segues into talking about, like, she's talking about Goop, and she says, well, there's this model of clickbait advertising. Nobody's going to click on something and generate revenue for a site, you know, with an article that says, maybe you could try this. They need the controversy, and it's just part of the business model. So for me, wellness is just a business model. Create the controversy, create the fear, create the need. Oh, and here's a product for $130 that solves that problem that we've just created in your head.
So when Gwyneth says our hearts at Goop, she's referring to, are in the right direction, our North Star is very true. We are doing this for the betterment of women. I just keep the intention really straight, just come what may. What were your thoughts about that?
Oh, I found that so disturbing, because I don't think at any part in this, like, their podcast that they actually talk about research and science and specific female groups. It's all very general. It's all very, you should do this, you should do that, not if you're 45 and perimenopausal and are, you know, live in Australia or New Zealand or America, then, and you have this going on, then this could be right for you. It's all very, you know, this is for everyone. It's generic and elitist and requires lots of money. I think the betterment of women should include education and compassion and recognizing that people are in individual different circumstances with very individual health challenges and goals, and what works for one person won't work for everybody. I know, like, the no gluten, no cheese pizza wouldn't work for me. the greens, I had a look at the greens powder they mention. Oh, it's expensive. Like, just eat some spinach. God, it's just...
I will chip in and say that there were at least 10 ads in that episode. It's quite unusual. I know podcast episodes have ads. Ours doesn't, by the way. Did you? but, yeah, there were an extraordinary number of ads, and most of them were voiced by Dr. Will Cole, so it's quite hard to tell the difference between a discussion and an ad. So they did all merge together, and greens powder was one of the products.
It felt like an infomercial. It felt like product placement. And it was interesting how common that is now. And yes, sometimes when I listen to podcasts, they will signal an ad with a little shift of music and then talk about a product and then go out. But his were just in there. And then he made references to sponsors throughout their talk as well. So the lines were quite blurred.
Very blurred.
But I think it's, I think it's worth remembering. And it's hard now with influencers. Like, we know they're making money, but the vast majority of everything they mentioned was going to profit one or both of them.
Yeah.
So are we talking about the betterment of women, or are we talking about the betterment of Goop?
Yeah.
Like, who's actually profiting from this? Is it really women, or did you sell another packet of greens powder? Like, well, just, yeah, it's very frustrating.
It really is. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much, Kate, for shedding some light on that. And, yeah, helping us to explain this interview podcast. What are they? Infomercial, I think we're calling it now, aren't we?
Infomercial.
You've ruined my weekend fun of rectal therapy.
Rectal ozone colonic?
Oh, I was going to do all sorts of things rectal.
They cost hundreds of dollars. I Googled it. It's just, again, it's something so elitist that,
yeah,
It's just mind blowing. That makes us guilty that we're not doing. Just another thing that we feel like we should be doing and we're guilty that we're not.
Absolutely. Is there anything you would say very quickly, I guess, to listeners who are feeling, you know, who aren't sure about this kind of thing, who are feeling a bit vulnerable, anything you would, any advice that you would give to people about this episode or about this kind of thing in general? Like, what are your words of wisdom or warning?
First of all, don't listen to this episode. Don't listen to anything by Will Cole. Don't listen to, I would avoid Gwyneth Paltrow as well, to be honest, unless you have a, you know, your BS meter is like up high. If you feel vulnerable to this, I would just remember that your health is individual to you. What works for someone else won't necessarily work for you. That small changes can make a big difference. That good health doesn't need to be expensive. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to feel a sense of well-being. I think that's a lovely thing, and I think that's an achievable goal for most people. And that doesn't require a massive budget or a huge amount of time to do it. You can shift the dial for yourself with small, consistent, loving changes within your lifestyle, within what you have going on. That's what I would say.
Love that.
Amazing.
Thank you, Kate. You have been listening to Bod Almighty,
the podcast that gives you practical, how-to steps towards body acceptance and confidence.
You can find us on Instagram at Bod Almighty Podcast.
Please do get in touch to let us know if you have any questions or suggestions. We love to hear from you.
From both of us, thank you and goodbye.